I thought I'd get a resounding lot of amens out there on that. Praise God. That's right. Well, in that case, just buckle down then. Praise God. You may be seated. I am always glad to be able to be here in Racine, but I'm especially glad to be here today on this auspicious occasion. Amen. Sixth anniversary of Brother Epley's ministry and pastorate here. And I was thinking that, and have done this not just today, but ever since we've been coming to Racine, since Brother Epley's been here, is that he just fits. He just fits. I just can't imagine anybody else being in this position. He's just a perfect fit. And I just believe that was God's doing. And I am so thankful for God's wonderful way of doing things. Praise God. He knows how to put it all together. And we have learned also over the years now to love and appreciate this church. And we thank God for each and every one of you. My wife and I have been enriched and blessed because of this congregation and because of Brother and Sister Epley and their kindness and generosity. And I really mean that. Our life would probably be much different if it hadn't been for Brother Epley and his kindness to us. Well, Epley has a lot of friends. A lot of friends. Matter of fact, I tell people, if you don't like Brother Epley, it's because you don't know him. And, of course, I haven't really ever ran into anybody like that. But anybody that would, I can tell you this, they don't know him. Praise God. Because if you know Brother Epley, you will like him. I guarantee you that. He is a... You know, all preachers are unique, but he's unique in the uniqueness. He is a firm, Bible-backed preacher. On the other hand, he's also a very kind and compassionate and fair man of God. I've never known anybody that went to the extents that I have seen him go to in different situations and events that I have been associated with to try his best to help individuals get along and to do what's right. And his principles have always been a number one. And I have known him quite a while, in a lot of different circumstances, and a lot of different places, and a lot of different things. But you are blessed. As you know, you are truly blessed that God was kind enough to Racine to send Brother and Sister Epley here. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to say not only my friend, but I love Brother Epley and Sister Epley and very much. They have enriched my life beyond what they could even imagine. But we will go to the Word of the Lord here, if you would take your Bible, knowing that you stand, are the only thing standing between all that wonderful food and put you in an intimidating position. And I guess you could just walk out and go on down there before I finish. I guess you could. But you don't want to do that. Because God will get you. Just giving you a fair warning already. It's a long way from here down there, and a lot of things can happen between there and there. I'll tell you that right now. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Brother Jones, so good to see you. Appreciate you being here. Thank God for God's preachers. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Anybody know what verse 5 says? Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. I mean, you ought not even have to look that up. It'll be like Acts 2:38. But there's a lot of churches it's not familiar with, I guarantee you that. And that fifth verse says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's some pretty stiff language. Now, let me say this about this verse. That anything that is abomination to God does not change. That's why that verse is still effective today. Because God doesn't have something that is an abomination to Him that in the New Testament changes from abomination to okay. Once is it abomination to God, always an abomination to God. That is why that verse still stands today. Does that, you know, the law passed away. They said, no, the law didn't pass. It was fulfilled. And those things that are abomination are still abomination unto the Lord thy God. And this church, of course, knows that well. Like I said, that's not true everywhere, but I'm thankful that here in Racine that it's still something that is prevalent and something that is obeyed. But that's not where I'm going today. I just couldn't help but read it since we were there. I'm going to verse 6. Surprising that after that very familiar verse that what I'm fixing to read is probably not very familiar at all to a lot of people. If a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, where there be young ones or eggs, and the dam, that of course is the mother, and I'll read it that way, and the mother sitting upon the young, or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the mother with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the mother go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Two verses of a very unique law. That's simply God's law of the bird's nest. God's law of the bird's nest. I'd like for you to look at it closely again before that we pray. And it is again clear about this situation that if a bird's nest chanced to be before thee in the way or in any tree or on the ground, whether there be young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the mother with the young. Notice the strong emphasis in verse 7. But thou shalt in any wise let the mother go. You can take the young, you can take the eggs. But if you don't let the mother go, Or if you do let her go, then it shall be well with thee, and thou may prolongest thy days. There is a vital spiritual principle in that law, believe it or not. And what I'd like to talk to you here today is simply about God's law of the bird's nest. God's law of the bird's nest. Let's pray and ask God that. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the kindness you bestowed upon us. God, touch this house, touch every individual that is in this place. Touch our hearts and our minds as only you can do. And we'll be forever giving you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The Jews handled the word of life and the laws that they were to condition their life around. They were to live according to the precepts of God. And many times it can be understood that the Jews that handled these laws, to them it was a lot of thou shalt and thou shalt not. And that was the end of the whole situation with them. In other words, we don't know why God said this, but he said do or don't. So therefore we are to do or we are not to do. And so that was the way it was with many of the laws, especially in the type of situation that I have read to you here today, that to them it was just simply something that God had made about a law concerning a bird's nest and the inhabitants of that nest, and that to them that was all it was just a law on the book. Amen. And but there is, as we know, a spiritual application in every part of the law. There is something, this is not something that is passé. It is not something that no longer holds any relevance to us today. Like I said, verse 5 is a law where that the abomination in that tells you that this is an explicit law. It says what it means and means what it says and is to be applied the same way today. But when you get to a law like the next one where that it skips from that into the bird's nest law, then you have a different situation altogether. That this is not something that is like verse 5 about a woman wearing that which pertaineth unto a man or a woman wearing that which pertaineth unto a woman. But this is more of a type and shadow and principle type situation in this law that God made. And to grasp what we're getting at here today, it has something vital for us. It has something very important for us. It has something in it that will change a whole lot of your perspective when it comes to being able to root and ground yourself in the things of God, which may not be all that obvious at the moment. And so that is my job here today, like Brother Epley preached the other evening so wonderfully, just do your job. And that's what I'm trying to do here today, is just do my job. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. But I want you to look at this very closely today. Amen. God had emphatically made a law about a bird's nest of all things. And he said, if you chance upon a bird's nest, and if there be eggs or young in that nest, then it will be all right. It will be okay in the eyes of God.
If you are so lacking to be able to take the young out of it, and you're able to take the eggs that are there to use them for food, amen, you're able to do that with no repercussions, with no problems. If that nest is in a tree, or if it be on the ground, and if there be young or eggs in it, you can take the eggs and the young, and nothing will be amiss. But it said emphatically that if the mother is setting on that nest, that it makes it very clear that thou shalt in any wise, it is prohibited for you to capture the mother and take her too. You must in any wise let the mother go. You are not at liberty to capture her, to hold her, and to keep her, and to kill her, but you must set her free. That's exactly the law for the bird's nest. Now, when I have read several things start clicking in my mind. And that is, if it were, for instance, here comes little Hashabiah down the road. And he comes approaching a low-hanging limb. And in that limb is a bird's nest. And there is a mother that is sitting there. Some of her eggs have not hatched, and yet there are others that have hatched, and the bulbous eyes of those young birds are there with gaping mouth wanting to be fed. And down that dusty road comes little Hashabiah. Now let me tell you this, that long time before he ever gets to that tree, a long time before he ever gets to that position, that mother is aware of him. She sees him. She hears him. Amen. She knows that there is something that is dangerous to her and to her brood in that nest. Amen. And there comes little Hashabiah, and then he gets to that place, and he is able to take the eggs, and he's able to take the young ones, and if he captures that mother that is sitting upon that nest and goes his way into the city, and when the elders see him coming, amen, they will not pay attention that he has eggs in his basket and that he has young ones in his hand, but they're going to be startled if he has the mother of that brood captive in his hand. And they're going to say, your mother and father are going to be very disappointed because your days are going to be cut short in the earth, because God's law was you must in any wise let that mother go. That your days may be prolonged. And if you don't do it, it's very obvious that your days will be shortened. That's almost the same type of repercussion that comes with not honoring a mother and father. Here's the question. I can see easily how he can catch the eggs. It's too hard to catch an egg. And I can see how he can catch the young that have not yet have the ability of flight. Neither are their eyes open where they can see, and they're not aware of danger. But the question is this. How to catch the mother? She saw him coming from a long ways off, long before little Hashabiah ever got to that nest. Amen. She had the ability to be gone. All she had to do was, once she saw the danger coming, and once that she saw that there was a threat on the way, especially when he began to reach his way toward that nest. If he had to climb up on a tree and shinny out on a limb, amen. Now I'm telling you, that bird had the eyes, had the ears. She could see, she could hear, and she had one more ability, and that was she had wings, and all she had to do was lift herself up, fly away into the wild blue. Amen. Her eggs may be taken, her young may be taken, but she would have been at liberty and been free long before little Hashabiah ever got there. But this law seems to make it almost obvious that you will be able to catch the mother too. And that anywise you must set her free. In other words, there is something that held that mother to that nest. Even though there was peril of coming, even though there was trouble on its way, even though there was danger that was headed toward her and toward her nest. And you know what that was that kept her from beating her wings and lifting up and flying away before little Hashabiah could lay her hand on her? It was loyalty to that nest. It was loyalty to that brood. It was loyalty that caught her. It was loyalty that her refusal to fly made it possible to capture her. And so the law said that you cannot use her loyalty for an object to destroy her. Amen. Because she stood fast. Because that she did not fly. God's telling you that I will not let her loyalty be for her destruction. If she stood fast, and if she stayed on that nest, you must in any wise let her go. Are you getting the principle that I'm trying to tell you today? That I'm telling you, sure, sometimes you can run if you want to, but I came here to stay. I'm telling you that your ability to plant both feet and say, I'm staying with the truth. I'm staying with the Word of God. I'm staying with what's right. Amen. I'm telling you, regardless of what peril you got to face, God said, devil, get your hand off of them. I refuse to let their loyalty be for their destruction. You run, and you don't have any promise. God said, it's because she refused to fly. Not that she couldn't, but she refused. She guarded that nest. And because of the loyalty to that nest, God said, you're not going to destroy her because of her loyalty. Because I have a principle I want to see applied to my people. And that is, stay with the nest. Stay with that which you have the investment in. Stay with the things of God. Even sure, you may have to have fearful moments, and sure, there might be a lot of things approach your life that looks like they're going to tear everything from limb to limb. But I'm telling you, if you ever learn how to plant your feet and say, I refuse to fly, I refuse to run, amen, I came here to stay, amen, regardless of what comes or what goes, God said, I refuse to allow their loyalty to be for their destruction. That's God's law for the bird's nest in 2016. It gives me comfort to know one thing. I can stand, and even though peril comes, God will make a way. You ever read that in Psalm 73? The psalmist said, as far as my steps and my feet, my steps were almost gone. My feet were well nigh slipped. Because trouble had come my way. Situations were getting bad. He said, God is good to the upright, to the righteous. But as for me, My feet were well nigh slipped. Amen. I was fixing to flee the nest. Amen. I was fixing to fly away and be at rest somehow, some way. Amen. That I was going to flee when I should have stayed. Amen. But there in the midst of that reading, amen, you can go on and read what happens. He says that look at all those God haters and look at all those that go against God. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Everything that touch turns to gold. They're not in trouble like other men. I tell you, the devil can get you to be thinking wrong when things are going tough in your life. Amen. Trying to tell you, leave the nest. Amen. Fly away. Amen. Why stick with something when you're going through much pain and so much sorrow? Amen. But David said, this is the way I was until I went to the house of God, and then I understood therein. You've set them in slippery places, but you set my feet on a rock to stay. I guess what helped bring this little verse to life was when I was a boy raised up in East Texas. Not all birds build their nest in the trees. Some of them build them on the ground. My dad ran a dairy farm. Some of that acreage would be closed off for making hay. So the grasses and stuff would grow waist deep or something sometimes. But I remember as a boy walking through some of those high grasses and weeds. When you got near a bird's nest, one that was active nest, you always knew. It was out on the trail before you ever got to where the nest was, out on the trail become that bird. And she got one badly injured wing. She just making pitiful little hops. Looked like Brother Epley when he come and picked me up at the airport. Walking like this. She steps out there, dragging that wing on the ground, making them staggering little old steps, and just staying a little bit out of your way. Saying, you can catch me if you want me. It took me a while to wise up. Because when you start in to catch that little old bird, she just hop a few feet ahead of you, dragging that wing. And she gets you where you thought you were far enough away from her nest. She got a miraculous healing. Boom, up in the air she'd go, and she'd be gone. It took me a few times, and I started wising up. Instead of taking the bait and following her, I knew I was near her nest. So I just start pushing grass aside, and there'd be a nest always just in a few feet of where that bird would come into that trail. But you know what? Once she saw I wasn't taking the bait, and once I started hunting that nest, and once I got there and pushed back the last part of high grass, she'd be sitting up on the edge of it with her feathers all fluffed up, trying to look three times bigger than she really was. And them little beady eyes look at you and saying, touch this and I'll peck your eyes out. I could actually catch her on that nest, because she's there to defend it. Her loyalty is in that nest. Amen. Everything she has, what God put in the little bosom of that bird, amen, says, I will protect this with my life. Amen. So therefore, God made this law, amen, that when it comes to the time, amen, that you must stand and defend, that God's not going to let you down. Amen. If you will stand on what's right, if you'll stand for the truth, if you'll stand up for the principles of God, regardless of what you got to go through and how, can you imagine what even a young boy looks like to a bird? Amen. That bird about that big, and there's a looming giant, amen, that's coming toward her. Can you imagine the fear that's in her little breast? Amen. But something overruled her fear, and that was her loyalty. I'm telling you, in this day and age, we need people with loyalty. Loyalty to God. Loyalty to truth. Loyalty to the man of God, and loyalty to the precepts that God has given us. And if you will plant your feet, the devil cannot have you.
We live in a day of such disloyalty. I've seen churches shook out over nothing. But I'm telling you, what's preached in your midst is right. Regardless if you got to swallow crossways to get it down, it's still right. Amen. If sometimes it doesn't come too pleasing to you, let me tell you, not all this preaching is peanut butter and strawberry jam. Some of it's got a little cucklebur to it. And you ever swallowed a cucklebur? I'm telling you, it ain't easy to do. But I'm telling you this, that the things of God, however you that it is, it may be in your mouth, but you need to get it into your system. Amen. You need to not let bitterness swell up in your heart, but you ought to say, preach to me, preacher, every man in this house. Amen. If you got a family here, when that preacher's preaching, you ought to get on your feet when he gets down to the where the rubber meets the road and say, come on, preach it, elder. Come on, preach it, elder. We rejoice when you preach about heaven. And we're going to rejoice when you preach about holiness. Amen. We're going to rejoice when you tighten down. Because this is what we got to have. We're going to stay with the truth.
Philistines came. And they're all out in the lentil field. They're just kind of wild stuff growing out there. Just picking a little bit here and there. No big loss if you lose it. Kind of like a blackberry field, you know. If it burned down, that's one thing. Not you got to get the pail and go in there every year and get the blackberries. But they're out in the lentil patch. And the Philistines come. And the Bible said, and all Israel fled. They said, hey, let them have the lentil patch. Let them have this. It ain't worth fighting for. And the truth is, it's really not. It's just a lentil field. A wild patch where they could get a little bit of sustenance from, but it's not their mainstay anyway. Amen. But the Bible said when all of Israel fled, Shammah stood still in the midst of the field and defended it. And God brought a great victory in Israel that day. He's the only one left standing. Everybody else runs. Amen. What made Shammah stand in the midst of a lentil field? He knew this. If they get the lentil field, they're going to get the cow pasture. And if they get the cow pasture, they're going to get the barn. And if they get the barn, they're going to get the house. And if they get the house, they're going to get my wife. And they're going to get my children. So I'm drawing a line right here. You ain't getting past this. Right here's where I'm staying. Right here's where I'm fighting for. Right here's where I'm standing. And God brought a great victory in that place that day. Somebody said it ain't worth fighting for. I'm telling you, you better realize if the devil gets an inch, he'll take a
say it.
Let me tell you the very reason why there's still people sitting in these pews, not just the past 6 years, but the six before that, and the six before that, and the six before that. Amen. Going back, there's some of you that's been sitting on that pew, and thank God for it. Amen. You know how a bird's nest takes place? They pick it up, twig by twig, and put it in place. Long time before there's any eggs and before there's any young ones. There's that devotion to build something for the future. There's something that says, this is where I'm going to make life happen. This is where things are going to change. Amen. And they put it in twig by twig, lovingly, laboring to put that all in place. Let me tell you this. People that have an investment in the things of God don't walk off and leave it easily. Folks that don't have anything in it, hey, you can see them evaporate with a moment. But folks that's got prayer, folks that's got their life in it, folks that's got their energy in it, folks that's got their money in it, folks that's got their salvation in it. Amen. They don't walk off and leave it. You can count on them being in that pew. You can count on being in a prayer room. You can count on them to worship. You can count on them being in church because they came here to stay. I'm telling you, you can leave. You can run. Sure you can. But God don't owe you nothing when you run. When the tough gets going, or the going gets tough, the tough get going. Twig by twig. Every prayer you prayed, every hour you spent, every dollar you put, every tear, every heartache, every Bible study, every sermon, every year after year, after year, makes me more solid in the things of God. Like I said, I've seen folks run all my life. The little trouble comes along, and I'm telling you, trouble comes our way. Yes, it does. Praise the Lord, but you got to learn that if there is, and there is a law right here that gives you hope, and that is that God said, if I will plant my feet, and if I will stay, that God will not let the enemy nor the trial or the situation have victory on me. It must in any wise let me go. Amen. It has to let me go. I may get caught for a moment, but the law says it will must let it go. When others flee, Paul and Silas are put in prison. I hear this misquoted a lot. At midnight, Paul and Silas, and this is what they used to say, sang praises unto God. That's not what it said. It said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Let me tell you, sometimes you ain't up to singing until you prayed a while. Especially when you're sitting in a prison fixing to die in a little while. But at midnight, there they were in them stocks and bonds in that cell. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray. And that they prayed a while, they began to sing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let me tell you, folks, see how you hold up under circumstances. Your next door neighbor don't know anything about God, sees you still not taking the wings of flight and running away. But you keep standing, you keep living, you keep doing what's right regardless. The prisoners heard them, but, and then the place was shaken. Every cell door unbuckled and fell open. Every chain came free. Every stock was broken. And the jailer, when he saw the open doors, he took a knife and started. Because, you see, his life was forfeit if the prisoners escaped. And when he saw doors opening and stocks broken and chains loose, it was his very obvious thought was, everybody skedaddled. And there was probably a lot of them that did. But Paul and Silas in that prison, when God has shook open the doors, taken off the chains, somebody said, well, he made a way for them to escape. No, he made a way for the jailer to get in, not for them to get out. Because when they saw him take that knife and fix him to evacerate himself, even they called out, do thyself no harm, because we're still here. We're still here. Praise the Lord. And that very night, amen, they converted jailer and his family and carried them out and baptized them in the only name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Amen. You can change a lot of people's lives when you learn to say, we're still here. Amen. Everything is shaking. Everything's a rocking. But we're still here. I read an incident many years ago that stuck out to me about the Plains Indians. When, to an Indian in that era, you didn't want to die in a wigwam. The highest glory was to die in battle. And so when old AIDS began to creep up on the elderly Indians, if there happened to be a battle, you know their time was short anyway. They had a tradition. That old Indian, I'm going to find how to do this myself. He'd go to the tent and take one of those straps off the pegs in the ground and pull up that peg and cut that strap. He'd tie that leather thong around his ankle, still tied to that stake that he had. He'd walk out to where the battle would take place. And halfway between where the enemy and his tribe would fight that day, he'd get down and he'd take a big rock and pound that stake into the ground. He tethered himself out in the middle of the battlefield. And when the enemy saw him out there, they knew one thing. He ain't running. He ain't going to flee. You have to kill this old man today. Because he's saying, I'm staying right here. I'm going to fight until the death. I'm going to stay right here. I don't know, but we need saints that know how to drive in the tent pegs. Amen. That says, this is my church. Amen. I'm glad what that young brother said here today. I'm glad to be a part of this church. And evidently, he's dug down some stakes in this thing. Amen. It says, whatever comes or whatever goes, if a storm comes and blows the roof off this place, I'm still going to be here. Amen. I'm still going to be worshiping God. If there are those that backslide and those that get into fights, I'm still going to hold on to the things of truth. I came here to stay, and I'm not running. Psalmist said in Psalms 84, how amiable, that word amiable means friendly and beloved. How amiable are thy tabernacle. For the sparrow has found a place to lay her young, even at altars, O Lord. Aren't you glad for the altars of the church? Matter of fact, in the old system of the tabernacle, they took that sacrifice and tied it, even though it's dead. They tied it down to the horns of the altar. That's what you ought to do in your life, is tie yourself to this thing. I'm tied to it. I ain't leaving. I'm in it, regardless of what comes. Because truth is all that matters. And again, thank God for a pastor that is still a firm apostolic Bible preacher. Amen. Still preaching and teaching the very principles that will save you and your family. And anybody that goes against that, let me tell you, they're running. But those that know how to stand can stand. And God said, I will see to it that your loyalty will not be for your destruction. Because I've got a little law right here that says just exactly that. Amen, amen, amen. Pilate told Jesus Christ, hey, don't you know? I have the power to set you free. Jesus said, you have no power except it be given of you of heaven. But you see, to this end came I. You know what that end was? To be impaled on Calvary's cross. You know, that's why they walked up to there and said, he talks about Elias and all this. He may come down from there and save yourself. But Jesus wasn't coming down. You know why? You know what held him there? Not those puny nails. He could call 10,000 angels to come fight and deliver him. But it wasn't those puny spikes in his hands, amen, that held him to Calvary's tree. But what held him was the loyalty and the love for this end. Amen. For he despised the shame. Amen. But looking, enduring the cross for the joy that was set before him. That's why you have salvation today. Because Jesus was staying upon Calvary's cross. Again, I'm telling you, don't run. There'll be a lot of forces come your way that try to push you out of the church. But when you realize there's a law, I'm going to put my finger on it. God, you said, if I stand, that the enemy has to let me go in any wise. Now stand, would you please? That's your guarantee of safety. Is that he's able, the Bible said, to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you. There's a place in the Bible said, having done all to stand. Then what do you do after that? Having done all to stand. Then stand therefore. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. We're living in a generation where that even among so-called oneness apostolic churches, they're letting holiness take to the wing. Churches are dying and not living. There's no loyalty to truth, no loyalty to the things of God. They just keep letting it drift away. But Jesus is still the healer. You know why? Because on that cross, the elder said it already, that he wore those stripes for our healing. By his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus, for staying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you right now to some faithful saint right here tonight, right here today, that has made the stand. God said, enemy, you got to let her loose. You cannot keep her standing for our loyalty and the things of God. Get your hands off of this soul today and the enemy. In Jesus' name. For complete and final victory in Jesus' name. Come on, let's touch the Lord here today. Come on, we're standing. We're standing, we're standing, we're standing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, don't let the devil lie to you. He can't destroy you if you keep standing for God. Yes, Jesus. Come on, pray with somebody here today. Put an anchor in this. Put a tent stake down. I came here to stay. Jesus' name, God's got a law that will protect you in a time of trouble, in a time